From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, Knicks Blues to Orlando Magic, 112.99. I'll get these stakeholders' perspectives on the Fan Forum. BleedBlueShow.com, our website, and audio archive episodes on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. Might as well, want to say the Knicks have played inspiring basketball the last couple of games. You can go back since the Houston loss. You can go to the Denver, Denver game before that. You got the Denver game. You had Indiana. The Charlotte game was. These were some fun games to watch at home. But there's a glaring. There's a symptom in this situation. A big symptom, and I've been echoing it throughout the win streak, even when Houston bombed on us. And that's what it comes down to. Despite the wins, the Knicks' 3-point perimeter defense is god awful, and that is a glaring issue that I see. Definitely can't wait to get the stakeholders' perspective. And you saw it again tonight versus Orlando, where another team comes in and makes 10-plus three-pointers against us. And nobody, I don't really hear enough chatter, in my opinion, throughout the fan base with when it comes to the Knicks' 3-point perimeter defense. And then you add on to that, tonight's game, we already know Porzingis didn't play. Okay, whatever. I thought this team was pretty much, from what I saw, the last couple of games where they probably could have had a chance to win without KP. But you add on the three-point perimeter defense is terrible. You add that, plus you add on the fact that all the turnovers, the careless basketball in the third quarter, the fourth quarter, and the energy wasn't as up to par like it was the other game. So back-to-back nights, you know, you're a professional basketball team. It's kind of a letdown game for me. Versus Orlando. Orlando's had a nice little season up until this point. They blew up the San Antonio Spurs. They beat some other teams. But I thought the Knicks should, even without KP, at least give the Magic a little bit of run. I mean, if you could play against Indiana, you could play against Charlotte. Orlando should have been a team you should have been bodying up with. The shot selection, Tim Hardaway Jr., is really suspect. We already know that. But there are some other positives as well. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. There are other positives of some of these guys coming off the bench, especially like a Lance Thomas. Doug McDermott starting to find his shot. But defensively, Tim Hardaway Jr., and we all talk about his offense and his shot selection, but damn, his defense. He's leaving guys wide open. I'm not understanding why he's committing so much on double teams. You don't need to. The rotations are there for the most part. If you get beat one-on-one, you get beat one-on-one, but don't leave your man open. I mean, these are the glaring issues that I see. Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. We're going to bring on Av and then bring on the Stiggles. Avenue could be found on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Knickerbocker Avenue, our social for the streets for the New York Knicks. And I want to get his opinion and how he feels about this team. Since the last time we had this dialogue here on his platform, the Fan Forum. Av, what's going on, sir? How you doing?
What's going on, Steve? How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I can't wait to hear from you and hear your thoughts. And we get the stakeholders in. We see you guys. We'll bring you on as soon as possible. What's good? Talk to us, man. Take your time.
Well, you know what? I mean, tonight was a clear cut indication of why this team is in the prom is, you know, why we thought what this team was prior to the run. I mean, winning 6 or 7 prior to tonight. Yeah, that's a great achievement. It's something that, you know, people want to get excited about. People want to get, you know, boasted about. But let's be realistic. This team is still not what it was. It's not what people are thinking about. I mean, people are getting excited, but I mean, come on, let's come back to earth now. And tonight, without Kristaps Porzingis being able to, to lead the offense and run the offense through him, you saw the glaring problems, you know, that this team obviously has. You hit it on the head. You've been hitting on the head, you know, all season long. And I commend you, Steve, because you and I see the same exact thing. The lack of perimeter defense is becoming more and more glaringly obvious, especially when you're talking about defending the three against Houston, defending the three last night. Charlotte, you know, shot the ball incredibly well from downtown, so they got cold in the fourth. And then tonight, you know, Orlando shot 13 for 28 from downtown. I mean, I'm not saying that that you have to block every shot or, you know, but at least be not leave guys so blatantly obvious. I mean, Vujicic walked up to the 3-point line and hit one. I mean, yeah, I know that's how the league is going to, but I mean, come on now. Somebody pick up your man, you know, put a hand in his face and become somewhat of a deterrent. Another thing, that, you know, and I'm going to keep on hitting him because, you know, everybody wants to keep on boasting on how great this kid is. So I'll be the one that keeps on saying, you know, what he lacks. Frank Ntilikina, dude, you're becoming a younger, more athletic version of Pablo Prigioni. Dude, shoot the ball, but learn, you know, develop a shot and then shoot the ball. At least two or three different occurrences throughout tonight's game and at least three occurrences last night where he had, a free ticket to the, to the hoop and he didn't take it. He just passed it up, you know, shout out to O'Quinn, did a bounce pass to McDermott, you know, hit Tim Hardaway Jr. on the fast break. I mean, Ntilikina needs to develop some kind of a confidence, you know, in his offensive game. Even when he's driving through the lane, I mean, how hard is it to, to just put your hand up and put it up for a finger roll? You know, things like that. But you can't deny and not commend this team for the great success that they were able to do thus far. However, you can't get, you know, Nick fans, you kind of have to, slow your roll a little bit. Because if you listen to the chatter, you listen to what's going on Twitter and on Instagram and on Facebook and on any other social media platform, and some, you know, and even in some of the barbershops out in the stoops, conversations are out there, this crazy talk of how this team is much better now that Carmelo Anthony is not here, I'm kind of looking at y'all and it's like, then you don't understand what's going on. This team is, yes, it's younger. It's a lot more athletic. They're showing a lot more poise. The ball is moving a lot more because Melo's not there to stick it. But Kristaps Porzingis is really not doing very much different than what Melo was doing. He's just doing he's just getting a lot more success for it. And because he broke the all-time Knicks record of 300 points, you know, in the first nine games, you know, that's the reason why people are just saying, well, the Knicks are better without Melo. No, come on now. Let's be realistic. If Melo was on this team and the success was going on, we'll be talking about, you know, possibly contending for the Eastern Conference title. But here we are, 6-5. Let's be realistic. The Knicks are the Knicks, and they're still a work in progress. They still lack the talent. It's really going to be interesting what's going to happen over the weekend. We got the Veterans Day showdown on Saturday, against the Sacramento Kings at home. Who's the one that's getting cut? Is it Jared Jack or is it somebody else that gets cut when Joakim Noah, his suspension is lifted and the roster is now at 16 and you have to cut it down to 15. Who's going to be the odd man out? That's the interesting part. I want to see, what this team does if they are actually going to move Kuzminskis, like early reports have been put out there. But overall, I mean, something has to be done. And I dare, challenge anyone to say, if you get rid of Jared Jack, you're going to notice it because since his inception, his insertion into the starting lineup, this team is a lot more poised in the beginning. They're a lot, the offense seems to run more fluid. Yeah, he needs to pick up on his offensive game. Same thing as Ntilikina, but the ball is moving, guys are getting set up correctly. The spacing, you have to commend them on that. And I'm noticing, has anyone else been noticing how often Jeff Hornacek will quickly yank Enes Kanter the second he screws up? But, turnover, everybody else is perfectly fine. I mean, I find that kind of interesting. I kind of understand, who Hornacek would like to get rid of, but You have to give up to the Knicks, for what they've been able to achieve thus far, the first 11 games. But I want to see more. I want to see how they do, after 25 games, after 30 games. I still need more. Yes, I know. I know somebody just tweeted me now. So it's like, didn't you say that the Knicks were going to be 0 in October? It's like, yes, I know. I'm sorry. You know, I'm not a prophet. I'm just a guy who sees it how it is at that given time. But hey, it is what it is. Let's bring on the stakeholders, Steve.
Let's bring them on. Let's get to Chandler. Get his thoughts on the Knicks losing tonight to the Magic, but also the last weekend. His thoughts as well overall. Chandler, what's going on? Night, Chandler, sir. How you doing, sir? How's everything?
Hey guys, how's it going tonight?
Not much, man. Give us your thoughts, man.
It's 11 games. Can we not call him Ricky Rubio after 11 games? You're right. He does have to develop his offense. Totally agree. But can we give him, like, say, a season and an off season before we stick him with that particular label? Because, I mean, hell, Jason Kidd couldn't shoot. Oh, you just call him Pablo. Oh, I thought you said Ricky Rubio. I'm sorry.
I call him Pricky Smalls.
But and yeah, he does need to develop his offense. I agree. I just right now, the fact that he's a pass first guy, I'm okay with that because I prefer pass first point guards. I really do. I'm not a fan of point guards who are scoring 30 points a night. I never have been. I don't think that's what the point guard is supposed to be. But I'm old, you know. I'm the old guy saying get off my lawn, so I get that. In my opinion, Beasley still has to go, but I think Kuz is the guy that's going to be moved when Noah comes back. But to me, it's got to be Beasley. I haven't seen any reason for Michael Beasley to be on this team. I haven't seen anything that says he fits the offense. I haven't seen anything says that he is anything other than what he's always been, which is a colossal disappointment. The defense, listen, we don't have good individual defenders. They're decent team defenders, but when you can't guard a specific area, as much as it is talent, it's also coaching, because there's been a whole lot of teams with far less physical talent than us that have defended a hell of a lot better and that are defending a hell of a lot better than a three-point shot. So that comes back to the coaching. It comes back to the coaching. It comes back to the rotations and getting guys to trust that when you rotate or don't rotate, somebody's going to be where they're supposed to be. I mean, overall, listen, man, I'm happy with what's going on. I'm happy to see progress. I'm not one of these people that's running around talking about, hey, we're going to make the playoffs and all this, that, and the other. That's not what this season is about. Getting the eighth seed and getting washed in the first round. I just want to see progress, which I'm seeing from Frank. I still want to see Willie Moore. And you know what? I don't understand some of Hornacek's decisions when it comes to guys' playing time and who he's kind of being harder on than others. But I think overall, when we started the season, if we said after this many games, you know, we'd have this record, I think all of us probably would have signed up for it.
All right, cool. Night Chandler 7 on his thoughts. We'll go around and get back to him. Let's get to Marlo, get his thoughts on – this has got to be interesting. I haven't heard from Marlo. Marlo, what's going on, Knickerbocker? I haven't been fan for him. Knicks lose to the Magic. What's your thoughts, brother? Welcome back. How you doing?
Hey, Steve. Knickerbocker, Av Chandler. Yes, sir. I've been going through some things personally the past few week or so. So that's why I haven't been on. But I haven't really caught too many Knick games. I've been catching some of the stuff in spurts. But, I'm back on. Now, the Knicks. Okay, in the bubble, you want to be a little excited because really, as Knicks fans, we're kind of sad. We grasp at straws. And so you give us any little thing, any little flash or something, we just want to be happy for a little moment because we know, you know, the Knicks from the past, it's fleeting. You don't want to think about that too much, but that's just how it goes. And we all know it because we're all Knicks fans. We know we see some signs of something good and we get excited and then something derails us. So hopefully it doesn't happen this year, but already KP is injured. And that's always been my big question because KP, since he's been here, I don't think he's played a full season. And that's the issue when you're so tall, you know, when you're tall like him and you have his moves, because KP is incredible the way he moves and his poise, like I said, and he's matured so a lot, KP. You know, and I noticed that, you know, like I said in the OKC game, the first game, that he's taken the approach of the game a lot differently. But the Knicks, unfortunately, what showed today, and just basically most teams, once your main guy is gone, then you're kind of lost. You know, the team really can't rise up to the occasion. We're not looking, you know, we can't see like the Tim Hardaway Jr. trying to take over a game or anybody else. We don't have that other person. So that's a problem. And you know, like you said too, Steve, the defense isn't good, you know, and it's nice to get excited again this early. But soon teams are going to have to start watching tape and figuring out more of KP. Now, I think KP can still be able to put in some work because, I mean, he's so tall and he just shoots over everybody, which is amazing. But, you know, you got to have the appreciation for, like, you know, the Kobes, the Jordans, the LeBrons, you know, the Paul Pierces and the Mellos, is that, you know, even though teams plan for them and double-team them or whatever, they still were able to score. So that's going to start happening with KP now as the season goes on. They're going to start watching out for him. So, you know, we're going to have to see how this team is going to respond. But, yeah, the defense is very concerning. What's even more troublesome to me, though, is this whole thing with Joakim Noah. Because him coming back and taking the spot of somebody, because, I mean, Sessions hasn't done much. And, yes, I agree with you, Chandler. I think Beasley was a big waste of time. I mean, I really don't know. He's just – sometimes he looks lost. Sometimes I just don't understand why he's there. He's been there longer than some of the guys there. I can't see him like taking anybody under his wing. And even if he did, I don't think anybody would even want to listen to what Beasley has to say with some of the asinine stuff he says in the interviews. He's in his own world. But instead of trying to shop coups or something like that, you know, they should maybe consider Beasley, but I wish somehow that they could get out of this albatross of a Noah contract, because him coming back, I'm sorry, I know he's a vet and this, that, and the other, but he doesn't move the needle anymore. Last season, he had some spurts of greatness, but he's injury prone and he just can't do what he can. So I'm not looking forward to him coming back at all. So this injury with KP is concerning because, again, he has a history of injuries. And as you can see, if KP's not out there, then the Knicks just really don't have anything that's going on. Frank Nikola looks like he's doing pretty good. You know, he's getting more confident. So I look forward to seeing his progression as the season goes on. But this injury with KP is concerning, and Noah coming back and taking somebody else's spot, I'm really not too crazy about that either.
That is Marl, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. Let's get to, Dominic, get his thoughts on tonight's game as well as last week. We want to get his thoughts as well verbally on the audio here at Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. Don, what's up, man? How you doing?
What's up, Steve? Hey, Steve, I agree with everything everybody says except what you said in the opening. Well, somebody, I think Knickerbocker had one of y'all about the perimeter defense. We've been saying this for 2.5 years now. I think, matter of fact, I think we said it last week. This is like a remake of what they've been doing for so long now. I understand what Chandler's saying. The coach got to – but, again, there's this collective task and there's individual task. Getting out there and putting your hand up is an individual task. The coach could tell you that 100 times. But if you don't get out there, you're done. The Knicks dodged a bullet last night, especially when we talk about perimeter defense. Of course, again, I watched the Hornets. The Hornets are weird. If they're winning in the fourth quarter, they normally let the team come back. If they're losing, they normally come back. But this just goes to show what the NBA is. Look at – I hate to keep beating a dead horse with this Monk kid. But look at Monk. Look at Frank. We knew Monk was a shooter, but we never heard of Frank being a shooter. He had long arms, good defender. We never heard about his shooting. So this shouldn't come to no surprise unless everybody was just caught up on his defense and his long arm. that they skipped over what a great shooter he was. But we never heard about him being a good shooter. So unless he gets that together, and I think we mentioned this last week, you keep avoiding this, and they're going to keep avoiding checking you. And that's going to make it harder for him to go to the hoop. It's going to make it harder for him to find somebody because they're just simply not going to check him. And we can't have that. I mean, all in all, guys, I'm happy because you know what? At this pace, I looked at some of the schedule. I'm not going to look at it no more as the wheels are going to come off. They're in a weak division. They're in a weak conference. This is light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, you look at some of these teams that everybody keeps talking about. Toronto. We know Toronto. The Wizards. We know the Wizards. I mean, come on. There's room for the Knicks to move up. I'm not going to jump off the bridge, but I keep looking at where they're at. And I just got a message from Bleacher Report that they're going to have – expecting to have surgery on for his elbow at the end of the season because of constant inflammation. So now here we go with that. I mean, will it be able to take him to the end of the season, or will he hit the wall with that elbow at game 50, 60? You know, these are always the scary things, guys. This could happen to any team, any player. I mean, I like the way the Knicks – I like what they're doing, and I think Knickerbocker hit it on the head. Has Porzingis just replaced Melo? You know, he's going to get us 25, 27, 30. Luckily, we've been winning, but we don't have no backup. We saw it tonight. I don't know what's up with Tim Hardaway, guys. Though he shot decent tonight, it seems like he's just too in a rush to shoot, like touch, shoot. Touch, shoot. It's like he's not looking at anything else. They almost got ran out the gym last night, guys, to be honest. I mean, a floor here, a floor there. I guess they made a great comeback. But Charlotte sort of gave him the game away. I mean, Monk had the hot hand. Clifford does what he normally does. He sticks to a certain rotation. You take Monk out the game. Here they come. They come back. Then you try to bring him back in cold. So the Knicks dodged the bullet last night. I still think they could have won the night. They could have won tonight. I don't think, I mean, though Orlando is, again, guys, if we could look at Orlando with what they have, and they're 7-4 and saying, they're doing pretty good. Well, damn, the Knicks are doing pretty good. You know, I'm not falling into that. When the wheels come off, they come off, if they come off. But I'm not going to look for the wheels to come off. No, not anymore. They have flaws, of course. And hate to say it, I know what Chandler's saying. I'm from the old school, too, with your point guard scoring 30 points. But we live in a world and we live in a league now where your point guard got to get you some points. I'm watching some of that game with the Lakers, and I'll tell you what, guys, Lonzo Ball might have did better staying in college another year. I know what the expectations of him are, but when you see him, he just looks – Prince Frank looks better than him. Because, again, tell me, anybody on this line, of all the talk we heard about Frank, has anybody heard what a great shooter he was? I don't think so. So they got to get that perimeter D down because they're going to start playing. They're going to start playing a lot tougher competition, and it's already known. I mean, guys, we ain't the 7-8 smartest people on the planet. If we see it, you know, scouts are seeing it. The scouting report is out. Hey, they're not going to come out on us. Shoot the ball. You know, and Knickerbocker again was right. Frank, you got to shoot it, bro. If it goes in, it goes in. If you miss, you miss. Again, we watched the game last night with a guy the same age as Frank, Monk. I hate to keep beating the Monk to death. 19 years old. He ain't afraid to shoot. I've seen him shoot worse, but he's still not afraid to shoot. He's not as bizarre as what Hardaway is doing. I don't know about him, guys. I defended him in the beginning. But this is just getting absurd now. Touch, shoot, touch, shoot. This is. But all in all, we're doing good, guys. If somebody told me we'd be 6-5 after 11 games, I'd have been taking aspirin. But here we are. I mean, let's just ride it out. See what's going on, and see where we go from here.
All right, that is Dominic. Thank you very much, sir. Let's get to Asim and get his thoughts, and then we go back to Av. Asim, what's going on, man? Knicks lose, but get your thoughts overall over the last few games. Asim, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, Steve? What's going on, everybody?
Hey, man.
I mean, listen, like everybody's been saying, man, you gotta like
Mark Richards got a right to keep seeing. The ball is, even with where he is playing, the ball is not really sticking too much. The ball movement is crisp. Guys are moving off the ball. They're playing relatively good team defense. They just got definitely have to clean up the rotation as far as it is concerned. The three-point shooters, you know, it's like Dominic said, the competition is going to get ratcheted up. And you let the ball begin to that outside shooting team. And they're going to look to expose that. I mean, it was a winnable game tonight. What killed them was the turnovers. I don't know the exact number of turnovers that they had, but I know at one point they had like 17 turnovers, and Orlando got like 25 points off them. Most of those bad 3 points. So, you know, if you can limit the turnovers a little bit, maybe you have a chance to stay in the game, because they played well through the first 3.5 quarters. But it started getting away from them a little bit, you know, for the third, and then, you know, in the fourth, it just completely bogged out. You know, I think what they missed for them tonight was the fact that when they needed to get a bucket to stand beside, they didn't have that first to go get it. And, you know, I mean, as far as Hardaway going, to me, this is my observation. It looks like to me that he's trying too hard to live up to that contract, because everybody's saying, oh, and they got that contract kind of on a mission to prove, like, hey, I'm worth this $71 million that we gave you, and I'm going to show you.
Hold on, Sim. It's hard to hear. Your phone's breaking up real bad.
Sorry about that.
All right.
I was just saying that I think he's trying to live up to that contract, you know, since everybody's pretty much been bad-mouthing and said he doesn't deserve it. I think that, you know, he's trying to go out of his way a bit too much to prove that he's worth that money with a quick trigger as far as shooting the ball. I have liked in the last couple of games, though, that he's actually been taking the ball to the basket. I think he needs to do more of that. The more that he does, it'll possibly impact the outside shot a little bit better and make it easier for him. But that's just my observation. I think that's him just, you know, trying to look for that contract. But all in all, like everyone said, man, after 11 games, you would have said that the Knicks would have been 6-5. Shit, if you just told me the Knicks had a better record than the Cavs after 11 games, I would have told you, listen, whatever it is that you're smoking, I need some so I can sell it so I can stop working. But here we are, man. You know, so we just got to see how it goes. A lot of the rest of the season, and, you know, I believe after 30 games we can make a good assessment of this team. So by Christmas time, I think we'll really know what it is.
Av, you got any thoughts what all the guys have said before I chime in? Av, anything else you'd like to say on that?
Well, I echo everybody's sentiment. I mean, yeah, I'm happy that the Knicks are 6-5 after 11 games, but let's be realistic for a second, and that's the one thing that I emphasize, you know, thoroughly, be realistic. Is that yes, the Knicks are 6-5, but look who they're playing, and look at you know what position those teams are in when we got to them. When we beat Cleveland, Cleveland was on a downslide, and they're still on that downslide. We beat Indiana, we beat Brooklyn, we beat the Charlotte Hornets. I'm 100% with Don on this one. We should have lost that game, but luckily, you know, Charlotte got cold. They turned the ball over a lot, and we capitalized tonight. We did the same thing that the Charlotte Hornets did last night, and that was turn the ball over, got really cold, and started becoming very complacent on the offense, and in turn on defense, and a lot of open 3-point shots, and that's where the perimeter defense is becoming more glaringly obvious, in the whole package of this team. But the thing is that this is the part that kind of concerns me, is that all right, the Knicks are 6-5 through 11 games. What's going to happen once we get past the 30 game, the 20 game mark, the 30 game mark, and now teams will start to develop somewhat of a scouting report and some kind of strategy to defend against Kristaps Porzingis. You know, it's impossible to try to block this man's shot, considering he's 7'3" and he's got a 7'9" vertical, and anytime he puts the ball on the floor, you know, he becomes somewhat dangerous. But like I said earlier, he's basically just taking over the Carmelo Anthony spot, and he's just getting at a much better rate of success. Tim Hardaway Jr., to me, he's basically learning everything, every bad habit that he learned from J.R. Smith the last time he was on the Knicks. You know, taking, you know, very rushed shots, you know, getting very complacent with the ball, getting sloppy with the ball, trying to think he's, you know, he's too, trying to be a little bit too fancy and turning the ball over, you know, at a crazy rate. Neil Aquino, his turnovers, yeah, they're high, but I'll forgive him that because he is a rookie. But a lot of those turnovers could have been, you know, could have been easily erased had he at least taken a shot and started to develop some confidence in that shot and become more offensive minded. Even though, yeah, we want him to be a pass first point guard. However, we still need some production from the backcourt because the Knicks backcourt overall over the last, what, five or six games has only produced maybe 23 points, you know, per game. And I'm sorry, but, you know, if KP is only scoring 30 and your bench is only producing about 15, we need more from that backcourt, and that's something that's got to look forward to going, you know, once you start playing the Cleveland again, Boston, you know, the Wizards, the Thunder, the Lakers, you know, and a lot of other, you know, more pronounced, more defined teams, especially like a team like the San Antonio Spurs. That's going to be a big time sign.
I hear everybody's points, and I agree with a lot of everybody said. Let me go point by point. I'm actually okay with the player Neil Aquino. I understand why you say what you say, Av. And it's very valid as far as shoot more. But here's the thing: like in the Charlotte game, he had some back-to-back possessions where he actually took the shot. He just happened to miss. So there were stretches in certain of these games, like the Indiana game. Remember, he had the big three-pointer on Sunday when he had the wide-open shot when the ball rotated and it got to him. He shot it. He shot it with confidence, and he made it. Then there was other possessions in the Charlotte game late in the game where he took two back-to-back jumpers, and it just happened to not go in. But there are stretches throughout the whole game that I would love to see him shoot more. But as like somebody else said, I think it was you, Av, or Chandler, or both, that I'm fine with him being a pass first point guard. And I think he has a good vision. I think he places the bounce pass very well in motion on the, as the guy is catching in transition to the hoop. But you could see the glaring difference between what we could have had versus what we have. I'm cool with what we have. My whole stance was either the three guys at that point in the draft, I would have been cool with. I would have preferred Smith Jr. I would have preferred Monk. But we got Neil Aquino, and I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. I think as time goes, he's only, what, 19? And he's played in the French League. He's played in grown leagues and over there in Europe. I think it's going to take some time. He's gonna find his spots, pick his spots. The turnovers tonight was bad. As far as backcourt scoring, you know what? I don't know if they're going to be able to get that. As far as what other teams in the league do, and that's fine because what the Knicks don't make in backups backcourt scoring, they will get it on the wings. We saw some promise out of McDermott in the game versus Charlotte. I thought that was a very good game by him, moving without the ball. He's finally hitting some jumpers, and he was missing them some wide open jumpers earlier this year. He's made some clutch shots. Lance Thomas has come in and given us a lot of energy. The guy I love since the time we got him with the 10-day contract. Lance Thomas has played phenomenal basketball, especially down the stretch defensively. He's kind of been one of the guys who's been around the longest, and that's not really saying much, but neither here or there. But back to my point as far as guard scoring, I mean, you would like to see that. But the thing is, they're going to get that from Cantor. They're going to get that from O'Quinn. They're going to get that from Porzingis. So they're going to get it from the other side, and which I'd rather get easier points with. You know, if it's going to be Neil Aquino dishing, getting to the lane and making the pass so O'Quinn could get a dunk or Cantor could back down and do jump hook shots and Porzingis going inside, outside, I'm fine with that. My whole thing with this team, like you all have said tonight, and I'm totally on board, is, and I think it's really more about, like what Dom said, is about individual will on defense. And what the glaring thing I've seen, and we said, I probably said it the last 2 weeks, and what's been masked because of the heroic comebacks in these games, which made it all exciting, is the Knicks are scoring points and the other team is getting cold, which turned into those wins at home. But what unsaid is the memo is out, like what Marlo said. These teams know we can play the Knicks. We're raining three pointers on them, and that's been evident in tonight's game, Charlotte game, Indiana game, Houston game. We're coming in, we're bombing on the Knicks. Catch us if you can. The only team that really, you know, Houston, they have a dynamic of a personnel where they can rain threes on you, but you can't stop Harden. You really can't. That was just a bad matchup. Orlando tonight, I hate to make excuses. The Knicks should have came out and played better. I thought, like Donald said, I think they could have beat the Magic. But I know a lot of people may give it a pass because of KP6 and back-to-back nights. But you know what? You're a professional basketball team. You got to get these wins. I thought they kind of let down with the turnovers, the perimeter defense as well. And they just kind of like, whatever. They just kind of mailed it in. My last point, we'll go back around to Chandler. My last point about Marlo, what Marlo said, is I think is very real. And I know, Av, about what you said, and I totally understand because we're the realistic Knicks fans here on this podcast. We're realistic Knicks fans. But I got to admit, man, it felt good winning some games the way we did it. And I can't blame the fans for overreacting due to the fact what this franchise has put us through the last, I don't know, 4 years. So I get it, especially throughout the Phil Jackson circus stuff. For like a half a week or a week stretch, I understand why the fans feel that way of promise, because you give the Knicks fan an inch, they'll take a mile, including me, for a week. I was excited as far as any other Knicks fan. So Marlo makes a great point about that. Great, great point. Chandler, anything else from the personnel stand? What about your thoughts on McDermott, Lance Thomas, and Jared Jack, and everybody else on this team? We'll go back to Chandler and go right back down the line to Marlo and Dominison, and then back to that.
Well, I mean, listen, I agree with everybody. And you know, Av, I think, was saying that they talking about we better than without Mel. This looks like that team that we started out with initially with Hornacek, and then about, 20-some-odd games in, Jackson decided it was going to be triangle or bust, and then the team went to crap. Just kind of looks similar to that. To me, ball moving, guys making shots. When the score is out of the lineup, you know, then – we find out we got a bunch of second and third stringers as starting players. I'm okay with Jared Jack. Jared Jack to me has to stay simply because it's obvious how he steadied this offense. This is never going to be a world beating offense, but the offense runs better with him on the floor. So he's got to be on the team. Lance Thomas is doing what we expected him to do. Kyle Quinn is finally doing what we thought he would have been doing a year and a half ago, which is playing the way he's playing now. He's dropped the weight, and he's doing what he's supposed to do. He's not out there trying to jack up jump shots. He's in the lane. He's blocking shots. He's playing defense. You know, the rotation I actually like, obviously, except for Beasley. McDermott has been a surprise to me because I had no confidence in McDermott doing anything. I really didn't. And he's at least attempting to play defense a lot better than I thought he would. You know, he's starting to feel comfortable, so you see him starting to score a lot more. Not a lot more, but you see him starting to score, and he looks comfortable, which means – and, you know, when a player's comfortable and they got some confidence, they play better. I'm happy to say I was wrong about McDermott being included in this trade. I thought he was basically a nothing in this trade, and it looks like he might actually – be somebody that we could probably keep around for a while, depending on obviously on what it's going to cost and everything else. But I like this team in the sense of I like the effort they're giving. That's the biggest thing for me, is they're giving effort. And like I've said, when we get to 30, 40 games in, we may not be a winning team and all those other things, but I think the guys will still be giving effort, which is really all we can ask for. And back to Frank, man, am I the only one who's noticed that his shot is like a four-piece deal? He's got like a four-piece deal to get his shot off, which he's going to have to clean up. You know what I'm saying? If you look at him, he catches it, he drops it down, he draws it in, and then he brings it up. It's like a four-piece act for his shot, which I think is why he's not shooting a lot, because that is a very long time it takes him to get a shot off. It takes him a minute to get that shot off. So, but overall, man, in the grand scheme of things, I like the team. I just – would like to get rid of a couple of guys, but overall, I think this is the best that we could have hoped for.
All right, cool. Thank you very much. Chandler, let's go to Marlon. Marlon, what's your thoughts as far as individual personnel, all the individual guys, as McDermott, Lance Thomas, O'Quinn, Jared Jack. What's your opinion on all these guys at the last week or so, Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum?
Well, before I even say that, I just really, you know, I don't just keep giving props to this station because of, you know, the forum and you guys, because, you know, I have just a lot of respect for your opinions and stuff and how you guys are more grounded and realistic about things that can look at this Knicks team objectively and give an honest opinion. I get so caught up in the hype because, I mean, Knicks Twitter sometimes, I just want to just get off Twitter because they go too far. They, you know, they're too far black, they're too far white. So, you know, it's just really good hearing, you know, good opinion, honest opinions, and, you know, saying that we still can enjoy their little success, but we're also being very cautiously optimistic and even pessimistic about what's going on down the line. So, again, just shout out to this Bleed Blue show. But as it comes to the individual and stuff, Jared Jack definitely has to stay. I think he's been, as sad as that may sound, the best point guard we've had in a while. Because, I mean, when we had Calderon and Derrick Rose, I mean, D. Rose, I was I was excited that we got D. Rose last year, like you guys knew. And, you know, he said, I was playing with revenge on my mind, you know, which I guess translates to him getting a contract. He wasn't so much worried about getting things done. And look what he got. He got a veteran's minimum to be a backup in Cleveland. And that's practically what he deserves to be with all the turnovers. He has more turnovers than points so far this season. But Jared Jack definitely is actually, you know, when they said when he was inserted into the starting lineup, he basically has made this engine go, which is great. Frank, you know, like I said, I can see by the games going on that his confidence is coming up and he does some good things out there. I mean, again, he's 19. So he's going to have some learning to do, but I see more positives and more upside in Frank than I see negative. Cantor has been a great surprise. I know he was a scorer, but he actually is a pretty good rebounder. You know, I'm not sure how long that's going to last, but his rebounds have been pretty good when he's been with the Knicks. He seems like he's always you know, pesky around the when it comes to getting those boards and trying to get at it, you know, and that's been really nice and surprising for seeing that happen. And he's also so far a pretty good complement with KP because he stays more down at the blocks and stuff, and KP can go out and shoot and stuff. So you have a little bit of an inside outside game. In this short amount of time too, Kyle Quinn has been a little bit more active on both ends of the floor. He does still do a lot of head scratching offensive moves. But, you know, it is what it is with O'Quinn. And again, I just really bothered by this whole thing with Joakim Noah coming back. I'm not a fan of that at all. I'm not a fan of his. If anyone's contract should have been brought out, you know, even though he has a horrible contract, I just say just cut your losses with him. Because as much as I really don't like Beasley, Sessions is definitely in the doghouse. And, you know, I would try to keep Kuzminskas because you need, you know, I mean, he doesn't defend and the Knicks need defense, but he is a shooter. He's tall. He has length to him. And, you know, I think almost that's why they played him today, besides the fact with KP's injury. Maybe they're trying to show what he can do so they can shop him around to other teams. But I'm just really, I just can't emphasize how much I'm not wanting Joakim Noah still on this team. Because he just really a step from retirement. He has 1 foot in retirement as far as I'm concerned, if not both feet. But all in all, you know, we'll see how it goes with the supporting cast and how things go later on down the line. And, again, you have to be cautiously optimistic because it's very early. A lot of people don't have their teams together or their for the things going on. But I still will admit the Knick fan in me is just enjoying this little bubble of enjoyment that we're getting from this franchise.
All right, thank you very much, Marlon. Let's go back to Dom and then get to Sim and then back to Ab. Dom, anything else you'd like to add as far as individual play that you like, you're in favor with, McDermott? You got any questions for any of the stakeholders you want to ask about? You got Chandler or Marlon or Sim or Ab or fire away, Dom, whatever you want to go with it.
I want to say thank you to Marlon because Marlon brings out the best of me. See, on here, y'all get who I really am. On Twitter, Knick fans just get the, I hate tanking. I mean, other than my political views and social views, when it comes to the Knicks, I just like rubbing in the tanking shit. Excuse my friend. Because I'm tired of hearing that. Y'all know how I feel about that. So I wake up in the morning and I search Twitter for all of those tanking people, and they've been kind of quiet now. To me, that's a good thing. Whether you don't think they're that good or you think we're 20 years down the road, just don't bring up tanking. Because, again, you don't get better by getting worse. McDermott, Steve, it is what it is, man. It's like, I hate to keep going back to Monk. There's Monk. There's a whole bunch of people like that. Shooters can shoot. You don't lose your ability to shoot. You may be in a system where they don't use your ability to shoot, but you don't lose your ability to shoot. And this kid can shoot. He was a shooter in college. He just been in some... I'm not going to say the Knicks are an upgrade considering some of the organizations he's been in, but he kind of fits the Knicks the same way Jarrett Jack fits the Knicks and what they're doing right now. I keep skimming over that part, and Marlo keeps bringing it up about the Noah thing. For some reason, I forgot all about him, guys. I guess I know why now. Now you're talking about chemistry. Irregardless of who has to lose a slot, you're talking about chemistry now. Where does he fit in? Whose minutes does he take? I mean, none of us on here were ever high on O'Quinn. But guess what? Now you know why Gomez ain't playing. Because of O'Quinn. So now, again, where does he fit in with this? He don't match the vets and the youth movement because he's 2 years beyond his better years, or maybe 3 years at this point. So he don't fit that. Does he take O'Quinn's minutes? I know he ain't taking Cantor's minutes. So now here we go. Now you got Cantor, Noah, O'Quinn, Gomez. Is the slipper going to come off Gomez? Is he going to be the guy they cut? I don't think so because you might be able to get something back for him. But again, Marlo brings up a good point. Why don't we just cut our losses? Nobody wants to do that. Shit, the Bulls just did it with Wade. And he probably has a little more value than Noah, probably a whole lot more value than Noah, but they did it. And come the time, you got to cut your losses, guys. If you're in a bad relationship, you may think it's going to get better, but your wife ain't coming home. You ain't coming home. It ain't getting no better. So you got to cut your losses sooner or later. And right now, he just don't fit in to what we're doing, you know, physically, emotionally, talently. He just don't fit in, guys. And now we're going to cut somebody. And if I'm not mistaken, fellas, Jarrett Jack is probably the guy on the most unguaranteed, easiest to cut kind of deal. Do we really want to lose him? I don't know. This one's a head-scratcher, guys. Considering how good we're playing, you know, this is a big head-scratch. I wish Marlo would have never brought it up. Now I got to go to bed miserable. When does he come back? Next game? Does anybody know?
Monday.
Against
Cleveland.
Oh, see? I don't know who thought of this other than Marlo, but now it's really starting to hit me. You know, whose spot is he going to take? If he takes Gomez's slot, I'm happy with that because Gomez ain't getting a lot of minutes. But then we'll be on that he's making $17, $18 million to play 7 minutes. So... You got to cut your losses with him, guys. But all in all, I'm happy because every morning I wake up and I search for the tanking people, and they're getting quieter and quieter. So that's a good day for me, fellas. Trust me.
That sounds dominant, man. Is there anything else you'd like to add? And go back to Ab.
Yeah, man. Don't even worry yourself, brother. Jack is going to be here. They're going to either get rid of Beasley, Kuminskis, or they're going to get rid of Sessions, which Sessions would probably be the choice. Yeah, he got a vet minimum deal that's guaranteed, but listen, the offense was an abject failure when he started the first three games. He's been out of the rotation, so you got to figure that he's going to be one of the main choices to go. And, Noah, I don't think he's going to play. He's going to be coaching from the sideline. He's going to be wearing a suit, or he's going to be at the end of the bench, and he's not going to be playing. Because it actually looks like Hornacek actually has the ability to coach and hold people accountable, unlike last year when they felt like he was just a puppet. So I don't think that he's going to play much at all this season unless there's an injury or unless it's garbage time or something, man. And, you know, I think if we were in year three of his contract, I could see them waiving him and stretching that contract out. But the only problem with stretching the contract out is you got to go every 2 years to every year that's on the contract. So if we were to waive him now and stretch that contract out over the cap, we'd have money for him on the books for 6 years as opposed to the remaining three. And you can't really compare the Bulls getting out a wage deal to his wage within the last year of that 2 year deal that he signed. He just picked up his option because he wanted to make sure they bought him out so he could move on to his next destination. So it's easier to stomach a buyout on a guy who's not what he used to be when he's in the last year of his deal. And you know that money is coming off your cap and coming off your books the next offseason. We could know it tomorrow, but guess what? That $17 million is going to be on here 2018, 2019, and it's going to be on here for 2019, 2020. So you just got to accept the fact that it is what it is, and he's going to be on here until the years go down, and you can move him unless they just say the hell with their stance and they move off or trade the first-round picks and they trade him and, a guy like Kuzminskis and they throw a first-round pick in there as a sweetener to get him off the roster, because that's pretty much what it's going to take at this point. You're going to have to give up a young asset and a pick in order to move his contract. So, and I don't think they really want to do that, so we're just going to have to stomach him being on the team and being at the end of the bench until we can find a creative way to move his contract. But everything else has been pretty good. I must admit, I did not know McDermott could move that well off the ball. He gets a lot of layups. He gets a lot of dunks. And also surprised at his defense, man. I mean, he ain't no world beater on defense, but the dude is trying. And for the years, we just been saying, damn, can we get dudes that at least try? And he's one of them dudes that's trying, man. Like you said, I don't know if old Quinn cut out the whole hose and the Cocoa Puffs or the Captain Crunch, but, you know, he just slimmed down a little bit. Playing, you know, he's playing pretty good to the point where Hernan Gomez can't get off the bench. So, I mean, he's earning his minutes, man. I can't knock Hornacek for that. If you're allowing him to coach and you're allowing him to do what he got to do, then he's seeing that how good this guy's played. So, you got to continue to let him play. I mean, all in all, we got to all be happy for where they're at right now. You know, French Frank, I think he'll get it. You know, Claude was saying it during the game. He has to look for a shot more, and when he comes off of pick and rolls and things like that, stop looking for the defender to look for the pass. Just go for the shot if you have it. And I think that's just inexperience and him trying to be too much pass first and not looking for a shot. I think the more he gets comfortable, his aggression will come, and he would just take the shots when needed. But all in all, man, after 11 games, this is a decent start. But like I said, I'm reserving judgment on the team until I get to Christmas, man. I need to see where we are record-wise and how we're playing as a unit by Christmas. By the time that Christmas Day game against Philly comes around, I'll have a true assessment of what we have as a team.
Av, please chime in on anything else you'd like to add that we have not said or anything else that's on your mind. Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum.
I was listening to everybody's points, and then I'm going through my feed, and I completely forgot. It's like, who won that mayoral race, and how close was Porzingis from becoming mayor of New York City last night? But that's neither here nor there. You know what? Everybody's pretty much hit it on the head. Sim hit it on the head. Dom, Chandler. Marlo, of course, always brings him, the realness into his form. Steve, of course, you and I see eye to eye on a lot of things when it comes to this team. It really comes down to, are we getting effort? Yes, we are. We are getting effort, so we're happy. The Knicks are 6-5. But like a Sim just said, I'm kind of like him. The same is that I want to see this team being, somewhat competitive, or even having a winning record by the time Christmas comes around, when the Knicks play the Sixers for that Christmas game. I mean, that's going to be interesting considering how good Philly has been performing as of late. Excuse me. But in terms of who's the odd man out, I mean, unfortunately, Jared Jack's the only one with the non-guaranteed contract, and sometimes dollars and cents are what makes sense in this league, and who knows what Scott Perry and Steve Mills are really thinking about in terms of what player they're looking at to either move or waive come Monday. But it's going to be interesting to see. As always, you know where to find me. But I mean, hey, fans, Knicks fans, please, I know it's exciting, but come back to earth. The Magic just put us, brought us back to earth with this loss, and now it's going to be interesting to see how the Knicks, work over the next 2 days, going forward.
Yeah, I don't really have nothing else to add to what you already guys have said. The only thing I'll say is, from a coaching point of view with Hornacek, I thought he pushed the right buttons in the Charlotte game, leaving the bench in. Lance Thomas McDermott, where KP6 cancer, their normal rotations, they would have came in at a certain point, six-minute mark in the fourth, left those guys in for like another 2 minutes or so, because the way they were playing very energetic, creating turnovers, getting them back in that game. And I think that it's all pretty much a byproduct of the circus is not in town with Phil Jackson pulling the strings, fucking with Hornacek last season like he was with the triangle offense and breaking into practice just to run trapezoids and triangles down every player, every Knick player in the coaching staff's throat. Now you don't have that. You can play more freely. Like I said, the only issue I really do have is, which pretty much has been an ongoing issue with this team for about several years now, is the perimeter defense. I don't think they're going to fix that, because if you haven't fixed it then, I don't know when you're going to fix it now, and it's kind of more of a thing where you got to want to do it. But it really, really pisses me off is dribble penetration, and you have a guy like Tim Hardaway Jr. coming off the ball for whatever reason, I do not know, leaving guys wide open. I can understand a contested three and you getting beat that way, but when you're getting beat, and you're literally like five feet from another defender, that's unacceptable, man. And then I agree, like I said, with Marlo's point, the tape on the Knicks is, man, just shoot away. Because, if you notice, there's another thing, and we'll go back around for final thoughts. There's another thing I have noticed, too, with these threes, because the Knicks, as good as these guys have been with the rebounds, all right, they have struggled with a lot of the three-point shooting from other teams in the long rebounds, offensive rebounds by the other team. I've seen that a lot, where it's like the Knicks aren't aggressive on long rebounds. It's like, oh, I think he got it, or I think he got it, and they just let the ball bounce, and the other team gets the ball. And like they don't box out properly at the free throw line to get those long cams off the rim. I'm surprised that these grown men don't. You're professional basketball players. You should be locking up defensive rebounds off of that stuff. But as much as it bothers me with these 3-point makes, it really bothers me when you get second and third chances. And I've seen that a lot, even in the Indiana game and the Charlotte game. But let's go around for final thoughts. Let's get to Chandler, Night Chandler 7. Chandler, what's your final thoughts with the Knicks and anything with the NBA as well, man? Please feel free to fire away, and then we'll go right down the line.
Well, I mean, as we all said, man, right now it's enjoyable. I think we all prepared for it to be not so enjoyable as it goes, but the goal is to just see small incremental progress. As we said, I think it was last week, it's been a lot of really good games. There's been some surprising surprising outcomes. I mean, Sacramento beat Oklahoma City the other night. What the hell is up with that? And, you know, Washington Wizards are still playing down to the level of competition. But, you know, it's actually keeping me invested in the NBA, the quality and the effort of a lot of these teams to go out there and play every night. And, man, I'm going to say this last thing. If the Pelicans could ever get their entire team healthy at one time, that would be a really good team because Davis and Cousins are just monsters.
Night Channel 7 on Twitter. Thank you very much, sir. His thoughts on our team as well as his other thoughts around the league. Let's go to Marlon to get the dime. Marlon, your final thoughts.
Well, guys, again, shout out to Bleed Blue Show. The Knicks, we'll see how it goes because, again, it's always a surprise what they're going to do, but it's obvious they go as KP goes, and that's how it is. But, guys, even looking around the league, this is, I think, the most exciting the league has been because it's more intriguing now with so many young players. And, you know, guys, I realized this the other day. You know, when you look at Antetokounmpo, Ben Simmons, what he's doing, Chris Stapps, Porzingis, Karl Anthony Towns, all these young guys are like getting into their groove now. They're getting into their swing. And guys, I believe this is the season where the quote-unquote banana boat era is on its way out. You know, the LeBron is struggling, Melo's struggling, D. Wade is coming off the bench. The Rockets are doing well without Chris Paul. So, you know, that little era that we had of those four guys, you know, being almost like the main story, you know, I think they're basically all on a decline now. We're witnessing that. And it's kind of good because especially when LeBron's end, because I get tired of LeBron-dominated East. I'm really hoping that somebody else is going to come out of the East. I mean, you still have Durant and Kyrie is doing his thing, and the Celtics are, the Celtics are amazing with their defense and what they do with those parts and the coaching. It's just really fun to watch, and I'm kind of glad, like I said, because in spite of what's been going on with the Knicks, this season is just really, really incredible, and I'm really looking forward to a lot of these games are much watched now. So it's a good thing for the NBA, and again, it's a good thing for us Knicks fans that we have the Bleed Blue Show. So keep up with everything with this show.
Drago NYC, thank you very much, sir. It's always great to have great stakeholders like yourself, Chandler, Dom, Sim, myself, Av. I mean, it's all about guys and gals getting together and talking it up, man. Thank you very much. Let's get to Dominic and then get to Sim. Dominic, your final thoughts, our team around the NBA.
One, I love you guys, man. Like I said before, it is probably the best thing I did since I retired. But to hold my reservation on the NBA, just want to throw this at you right quick, Steve. A-Rod, the Yankees' new manager. Wow. Wouldn't that be something? Hey, you know
shoot
what?
Shoot yourself now.
No, think about this, guys. Not to get off the basketball tip. He knows baseball. The young kids love him. He's a perfect fit moving forward. Age, knowledge, baseball historian. And guess what? What Marlo was just saying about the NBA, they're taking a page out the MLB's book. We talked about this before. All this young talent finally starting to flourish. I will, of course, hold my judgment till the end of the year. Because if I see 14 of the same 16 teams in the playoffs, I'm going to say, here we go again. We got bamboozled for the first 4 months. And then all of a sudden, bam, you know, we get the same, you know, rerun of the NBA championship, which people could say that's good for business. I don't think it is. The Astros won the World Series this year, and I bet you a dollar right now, anybody want to take a bet, they ain't winning the World Series next year. I don't care what people think. There's too much parity. They will not win the World Series. Hopefully they get back to the – well, hopefully they don't because they're in the same league as the Yankees. But that's where the parity is separate in MLB and the NBA. So it's a good season right now to start out with. Let's see how it pans out. As far as the Knicks, hey, guys, Tanking is not an option. So I'm happy as hell every day I wake up and ain't nobody talking about tanking no more.
That is Don DiNardo DP on the Twitter. Thank you very much, sir. Let's get to Invisible Bully. It's Sim, your final thoughts, and then we get to ask.
Hey, man, I mean, we got a team that's playing like a team. They're in the infancy stages. You got to like what you're seeing as far as with the NBA, man. Like, you know, like Marlo was saying, you know, a lot of these young guys coming into their own, man. You know, Giannis, you know, Towns, KP, a lot of these guys, they're hungry and they seem like they're ready. It seems like a lot of them, like, they can smell the blood in the water. They can see LeBron is not what he used to be. And, you know, I think in the East, besides Boston, you probably got to look at Milwaukee, especially with the acquisition of Bledsoe. If he can be a second scorer to, you know, to Giannis, man, look out. Them guys got length, athleticism, and they have all the ingredients to give a LeBron team fit, give any team fit. You know, I really like the way Jason Kidd is building that team up. He wants youth, athleticism, and length at all positions. So I think those are the two best shots in the East to take LeBron out this year. And I'm like everybody else, man. I'm tired of seeing a Warriors and a Cleveland final. You know, I'm hoping maybe Houston can get it together and they can do something. Maybe OKC can get their act together and challenge, you know, the Warriors. Hell, I'd like to see what the Spurs could do with a fully healthy Kawhi for a full series, because everybody seemed to forget they was beating the Warriors' brains out their first game with Leonard before he got hurt. And then once he got hurt, you know, it all went downhill. And I know most people will say, well, damn, if one person goes down, can that really change the whole series? And it can. I mean, look at the Boston series, man. Boston, if Rondo doesn't go down, Boston might get swept in the first round and not even make the conference final, you know, against Cleveland. So who knows, man? But there's a lot of parity going on right now. But by the time Christmas comes around, we'll see what teams are real and what teams are just pulling the wool over our eyes. So just be patient. Take your time. Let's not get too overexcited. You know, we all have had our hearts broken numerous times, man. So don't get too high when they do well. Don't get too low when they do bad, man. Just enjoy the ride as we look out the window.
Shout out to us, Sim, man. Thank you very much on that. Av, your final thoughts, and tell everybody your content for social media, how the Knickerbocker Avenue could be found.
At Knickerbocker Ave on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Folks, I mean, I'm glad everybody's enjoying, you know, the Knicks season thus far and the NBA season. It's definitely one of the most interesting and exciting first couple of weeks to the NBA season. But let's not lose sight of how we got here, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm speaking to everybody this Friday. I want to send a special happy birthday to my fellow United States Marines. And then Saturday, Dom, thank you for your service. Thank a veteran. Thank everybody. You know, happy Veterans Day. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy all the free buffets that we're going to have on Saturday, because, you know, veterans eat free just about every restaurant there is. And you know what? Enjoy the game. Enjoy the season. You can find me on Twitter, on Facebook, and Instagram. And shout out to the Bleed Blue Show. As always, Sangha Soul, Bleed Blue all day, every day.
Yeah, for the guys, for Chandler, Marlo, Dominic, Sim, Knickerbocker Avenue. My thing is, these games, whoever said it best, I can't remember a season in a very, very long time. I am staying up to watch even Sacramento play, New Orleans play, Memphis play, Portland play, the Lakers, the Clippers. I just think this league is in a decent position. Right now, if you look at the Eastern Conference, I'm pretty sure that all the teams are right next to each other, either one or two games over 500 outside of Boston, who are doing very well right now. The Sixers, I saw them destroy the Jazz in the fourth quarter, third or fourth quarters yesterday. I'm staying up to watch a lot of these games. And the whole point is, I think the league is in a very good position with team play. And what's really exciting is, even early on, we already know the favorites, like the Warriors, they're even having their struggles at home versus teams, middle of the pack teams, and even in the Eastern Conference. So these games are fun, man. Let's have some fun, watch the games, Knicks games. I can't remember in a while. It's been a first time in a long time where I've seen the Knicks fan base, no matter what they were doing in this juncture of the day, just stop what they're doing and get to a Knicks game and really be riled up. And get, like as Sim said, don't get too high, don't get too low, but definitely enjoy it, man. I think that's the whole thing. Enjoy it, go for the ride, have some fun, and let's see what the Knicks could do, man. I think with the back-to-back nights, I don't want to give it a pass because it's still a professional basketball team. They still needed to play a little bit better effort. But, you know, overall, I definitely give it like a B performance, B-minus performance for what they did. And the effort on some of these games was phenomenal. So, overall, let's build on this. Got a couple of days rest before the next game. And let's see where this goes and see who gets cut. And we'll take it from there. But we'll be back next Wednesday to have that dialogue, man. Looking forward to it with these guys. Sangre Azul. Blee Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Blee Blue, 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 Blee Blue.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.